ABC Listen.
Hello there, my name's Emily and you're listening to Newstime.
Hello Emily.
Hey Emily.
And hello to this week's Newstime listener legend, Liliana.
Hi, my name is Liliana. I live on Darrican Gundagala in the Blue Mountains. I love listening to Newstime because I like learning stuff.
Thanks Liliana. Well, there's plenty to learn from the stories I've lined up for you on this week's Newstime. We'll hear a musical instrument that's taken more than 3 years to repair. We'll visit a workplace looking for an energetic new staff member who's keen to fetch. And then we'll uncover a salad surprise in our Wow of the Week. Alrighty, friends, shall we get things underway?
Okay, let's jump in.
Story number 5.
It's less than 2 months now until the Commonwealth Games begin in Glasgow, Scotland.
Like the Olympics?
The Commonwealth Games are very similar to the Olympics. They're both held every 4 years and feature athletes at the top of their game. But the biggest difference is that the Commonwealth Games only include athletes from the Commonwealth. They're countries that have links back to the British Empire and who recognise King Charles as the head of the Commonwealth. So that includes countries like Australia, New Zealand and Canada, but not countries like Japan and the United States. One athlete who's been selected to represent Australia is Jackie Hudson, who's 75 years old, and she's a great grandmother too.
I think she's quite fun because she would be really good at knitting because my grandmother is like so good at it.
Jackie can't wait to compete. And she's a pivotal member of the Jackaroos squad bound for the Commonwealth Games to play the sport of lawn bowls.
I've seen there's like lots of times where there's people like rolling balls.
That's the one. You roll a ball called a bowl slowly along a bowling green, trying to get it as close as possible to a white ball called the jack. Jackie has been playing lawn bowls for years and won gold at the World Bowls Championship 3 years ago. This will be her first Commonwealth Games, making Jackie one of the oldest Australian athletes to make a Commonwealth Games debut.
I think she would be a tiny bit nervous first time going to the Commonwealth Games.
My grandma brings presents when she comes, so I think she'll be like happy and bring presents a lot of times.
Jackie has been vision impaired her whole life. She says that means she didn't get to play much sport throughout her life. But when Jackie retired from work, she gave lawn bowls a go. She now competes alongside a vision director who provides guidance and helps her course correct. Jackie can't wait to pull on the green and gold when she represents Australia in Glasgow. Go, Jackie!
Story number 4.
If you've got a dog, what are they good at?
My dog's name is Monty. My dog is good at barking and he is very old.
Luna's good at fetching, but she's not very good at getting it back.
For more than a decade, a very good boy named Bear has been working as a detection dog.
I've seen one of these dogs, so sometimes they sniff something. Usually I see them at the airport.
Oh, those are sniffer dogs, but Bear's work is a little different. As a detection dog, Bear is skilled at sniffing out koalas. That's come in handy after fires and floods, leading wildlife rescuers to save the endangered animal. After the Black Summer bushfires, Bear helped find more than 100 koalas, and many of them had to be rushed off to see a vet. Now, after 11 years of great work, Bear is retiring.
I think he's just very smart.
I think it's very good for a koala. That's a ninja.
It is. But now there's a job up for grabs for a new detection dog. This pooch needs to have a few crucial skills.
Like maybe they need like a detective skill, a sniffing skill, and a nose skill.
And I think it also needs to have a good sense of humour.
Good thought. But dogs wanting the gig must be younger than 2 years, energetic, have no interest in chasing wildlife, and be obsessed with fetching balls.
I think it would be easy to find one of those dogs because you just like throw a ball and see which one gets it first.
As you can imagine, the top dog will be given plenty of training so it can perform a brand new and very important trick, tracking down koalas. But for Bear, he's started his retirement. I wonder what he might be getting up to.
Just chilling out in the sun, having in a dog hotel, and just eating dog treats every day without getting a bath.
That wouldn't be too rough, would it? Get it?
Story number 3.
When it's bedtime, what books do you like to read with your grown-ups?
Books by Katie Kirby.
I like to read chapter books like Harry Potter or like Detective Girl.
Books I borrow from the school's library about the earth, like Wild, Wet and Windy about tornadoes.
Sounds like a book I should give a whirl. In Townsville, there are two boys who love reading one particular bedtime story with their dad, Brayton. And that's because their dad wrote it. The book is called Where is the Dark Emu? And Brayton wrote it in Gudjal.
Wanta Gunda Gundaloo. Where is the dark emu?
I'm gone.
Gudjal is the language of their mob, the Gujala people. And fewer than 10 people can speak the language fluently. Why then do you think Brayton wrote his book in Gudjal?
He'll pass it on to his children and then after he finishes the book, he'll know a lot more about Aboriginal people.
He wants to pass on his knowledge so that he knows the knowledge.
Yeah, Brayton wrote the book so his kids could learn their traditional language from a young age.
If I wasn't passing it on, our culture stops in my family. So I thought it was really important.
To write his book, Brayton used a dictionary written by a Gudjal elder. It helped with translation, however, much of the language has been lost. Australia has one of the highest rates of language loss in the world. There were more than 250 Indigenous languages before colonisation, and now there are just over 150 Indigenous languages still spoken. But Brayton says this could change for the better.
Our kids and the next kids, you know, grow up on it as well, and it just becomes, you know, a natural thing, and it's not even dying, it's growing, it's living.
Brayton has plans to write more picture books for his sons in Gudjal so that they can learn more of their Indigenous language.
Story number 2!
In the Queensland city of Toowoomba, locals have been working hard to bring something that's more than 100 years old back to life.
It's a fence made out of tins and it's not that tall.
It's an instrument, so you get like something like two sandals and then you bump the pipes and then it makes music. Boom, dee, dee, boom, bee, bee, bum, bum.
Well, that is a lovely tune. This is a musical instrument known as a pipe organ. It's been sitting inside a Toowoomba church for over a century and made of more than 1,000 metal pipes. Usually, pipe organs sound like this. But this 119-year-old instrument hasn't made a sound like that for about 4 years because it's needed a lot of repairs.
So the ones that are like rusted and broken, just take them off and replace them with new ones.
Well, it's not that simple. This instrument isn't just the pipes. There's also keys and pedals that are played by an organist. And so the community called an organ builder from Brisbane to take on this mammoth fix.
Destroy that one and get a new one.
If they're trying to build it, they would probably use a crane to pick up a lot of pipes one by one. It would take millions and millions and millions and millions of years.
Well, you're right that the pipes were fixed one by one. It took 3.5 years to restore the pipe organ, and it's finally been played again. The church and the wider community raised $150,000 to pay for the restoration work.
Because they want it fixed.
Because it's like very, 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 very old and special.
Exactly. And the city is celebrating this week with a concert called an organ recital, which, after 4 years, is no longer a pipe dream. Alright friends, we've warmed up and now it's time for the main performance, which we call our
Wow of the Week.
This story made me go wow because it's like a mystery.
In Western Australia, some housemates came home from a grocery shop with more than they thought they'd bought. As they were unloading their shopping, one housemate spotted something unusual in their bag of lettuce.
It's a frog eating food in a plastic bag. Dun, dun, dun.
Yep, sealed inside a plastic bag of lettuce was a small green frog staring at them. But as one of the housemates named Laura said, the person who first saw it wasn't worried.
He's the most casual Australian ever, and he's like, bro, I've got a lettuce, like a frog, my lettuce.
And what are we supposed to do?
Well, that was the question. The bag had air holes, so the frog, which they named Greg, was able to breathe. It also had plenty of lettuce to snack on. The housemates felt bad for the critter and decided to set it free in a nearby dam.
I think it's not a good idea to put it in the dam because it might die.
Could be dangerous animals for a frog in there.
Yeah, the best advice is to report any animals or insects found in packaging to the Department of Primary Industries. But these housemates were so surprised by Greg the frog that they leapt into action early. But the question remains, how exactly did the frog find itself in the bag?
I think a witch slash wizard put a tortoise in the plastic bag, but then someone turned it into a frog.
He was just living in the factory, and then he saw a fly on the bag, and then he was like, I need to eat that, and then he went to go to eat it, and then he missed and then fell into the bag.
That might well be it. The supermarket that sold the lettuce had started an investigation of their own. And it's not the first time a critter had been hiding in one of their salad bags. A few years ago, the supermarket chain sold a bag of salad, and inside was a large spider.
That's so scary. What type of spider was it?
Let us not think about that. Alrighty, I hope you've been listening carefully as I've been riveting on, because it's time for today's quiz. Question 1. How old is lawn bowler Jackie Hudson? 75. Question 2. Bear, the detection dog, was trained to sniff out what native animal? Koalas. Question 3. Braithen has written a book in which Indigenous language? Gudjul. Question 4. What giant musical instrument has been restored? A pipe organ. And question 5. What name did the housemates give the frog? Greg. Top work, everyone. And don't forget, if you'd like to be a Newstime listener legend like Liliana, ask your grown-ups to head to the Newstime page on the ABC Kids Listen website.
Thank you, Emily.
Catch you later, crocodile.
Crocodile? Now, there's a creature I wouldn't want to find in my bag of salad. Newstime is an ABC Kids Listen podcast. For other awesome podcasts to play, music to move to, and stories and soundtracks for sleep, head to the Kids tab on the ABC Listen app. It's free from your app store.